Welcome to Land Academy.
I'm Jack Butella.
I'm Jill DeWitt.
We show you how to buy real estate for half of what it's worth
and sell it on the internet really fast.
We are Jack and Jill,
and this is the Jack and Jill Show 2.
With over 15,000 completed transactions, we're the experts at acquiring property.
Of all kinds, not just land.
For half price and flipping them for way more.
All right, let's get this show started.
Jack and Jill here.
Hi.
Welcome to the show. In this episode, Jill and I talk about how one deal leads to 10 and leads to 100. Before we get into it, though, let's take a question posted by one of our members on the landinvestors.com online community. It's free.
Okay. Chris asks, I've been receiving calls from some letters I mailed 3 or more years ago seeing if someone to purchase their property. I was wondering how to handle these type of offers. Do you still make an offer? Do I ask if he has reached out? Do I ask has anyone else reached out to them? Or do I pass because it took them this long to get back to me and will take them even longer to make a choice to sell?
This question,
I like these,
was designed for Jill DeWitt.
I know.
Because we would deal with this daily.
Oh, totally. I love these calls.
Jill's staff does. But yeah, go ahead.
So you know what this means to me, Chris? Number one, you sent out a good offer.
Yeah.
Because you know what? They loved it and they hung on to it.
So this whole thing falls under congratulations. You
rocked.
Yeah,
you did it right. It didn't sing to them then, but they said, you know what? They obviously liked your offer that long ago that it wasn't trash worthy. It hung out in the file. They stuck it in their file and hung on to it, you know?
It took you seriously.
Yeah, for a rainy day.
It wasn't a four-color bleed postcard that to whom it may concern or current resident.
Mm-hmm. So now they're calling you back. And the first thing which I love these calls, it's every time this happens, we've had some 10, 12, 15 years ago. It's so funny. And the first thing is, oh my gosh, you guys are still there. They're it's funny because they like, there's a phone number, I'm going to call it. And you know that they're surprised that somebody's still like, they're around. Like, yeah, what do you have? And we'll get the information. And you know what? If it meets my criteria, I'm still going to buy it. Now, the truth for us is the properties that I was purchasing 15 years ago and the transactions I'm doing today are usually very different. I'm really not interested in a $1,000, $2,000, $3,000, $4,000, $5,000 property. $100,000 property, I am. But that doesn't mean I don't talk to these people too. I want to get that information, and I'm always going to ask them too what else they have. Because what if this person, even though I sent them an offer on one, they own half of the mobile home park? I uncover that. Now it meets my criteria, and I still might act on it.
It's always worth a talk, mm-hmm. is what Jill's saying, and I agree.
Yep. And they know too, by the way. And I don't see it as any sign that they are going to take 6 years or 6 months to pull the trigger at this point. And honestly, Chris, I don't care. So here's a conversation I would do if I were you. Yes, I'm still here. You know, what do you have? And then this is your opportunity to go, you know, now in that area, the properties are kind of worth this, so I would pay X. And they're either going to say yes right now, Or they're gonna think about it, or they're gonna say no. One of those things is gonna happen. Probably gonna be yes, or they're gonna think about it, because they're now serious about it and reaching out to you. They're not just calling you because they're now going through their mail and they call everybody who sends them a letter. No, they're obviously interested in selling. So and that's your thing to decide. So and then I move on. You know, I don't chase people. I don't really do a lot of calling. I don't go, hey, I made an offer with you a week ago. Are you going to take it? Are you going to take it? No way.
Yeah.
I make them an offer and I move on because I got too many other people to deal with. You know, they're in or they're out.
So let's dig into this a little bit deeper. Why now, after all these years, are they calling you back? What triggered that phone call? Mm-hmm. What do you think, Joe?
Number one is someone passed on.
Death.
And somebody else is getting this mail. Might be the wife. It might be the kids. Might be the husband, who knows, whatever.
On a scale of 1 to 10, in your experience, you are really, really qualified to answer these questions. How motivated, now it's a few years later, on a scale of 1 to 10, what's the motivation level selling this property?
8 or a 9.
Me too. I agree. Mm-hmm. It's really, really high.
Mm-hmm.
So what that all adds up to, in my opinion, is
opportunity.
Price adjustment.
Yep. There's your opportunity. There's a reason why. I remember this one for so well for some reason, because we talked, she shared everything. She needed the money because her dog was dying. I'm not kidding.
It's always a circumstance.
She needed her
like
money
that.
For vet bills.
There's all, if you can get to.
And she was very clear about that. And I was really happy. I was happy with the transaction. She was happy with the transaction. You know,
the faster you can shift their focus off the real estate, because they don't care about the real estate. What's on their mind is some circumstance that
something's
Jill just nailed
up.
It. Somebody passed away and they're working through the estate, and this is just a line item in their list. Yeah, oh yeah, I'll just, if you're really going to buy it, I don't care what the price
is. I just want to get rid of it.
I just need to check it off my list.
Right.
Or my dog.
Or there's something going on that they need the money.
So if you get them, especially in houses, this is true. If you get them to comfortable talking to you, and Jill's a wizard at this, comfortable talking to you about whatever circumstance is, then the price is now the secondary issue. And I'm not saying take advantage of anyone ever. I'm not saying that at all. I'm just saying there's an opportunity to buy an asset probably cheaper. And if it doesn't matter to the person at all, then that's what you should do.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Exactly. That's good.
I've said this a million times, and it's worth saying it again. What we're looking for is not a piece of real estate. Mm-hmm. We're looking for a circumstance. And if you talk to anybody who sends letters out, they'll tell you immediately, oh, yeah, you're right. It's always a circumstance that leads somebody to sell their property, the assets and stuff. Don't spend as much time on the actual piece of real estate. Spend more time as a, you know, amateur psychologist, and you're going to do great. On the buy side, anyway. Sell side, totally different. It's all about the asset.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
If you have a question or you want to be on the show, reach out to either one of us on landinvestors.com. Today's topic, how one deal leads to 10 deals, leads to 100 and beyond. And for us, it's like 16,000 almost.
Careful
now.
What you wish for.
This is the meat of the show. I've said, you know, earlier this week, I used that whole cleaning out the closet analogy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, recently I went to look for an old fishing pole, and I went into the closet, and it was just a disaster in there. And so what did I do? I cleaned out the closet so this never happens again.
Mm-hmm.
And that attitude, or in that application of solving a problem, carries into everything in owning companies. You don't just look for the fishing pole and reach back through there all the garbage and pull it out, balancing on your tiptoe, and pulling the thing out so you can use it. You solve the problem so that it doesn't get lost ever again. You solve the missing fishing pole problem. So that's what happens. You know, that's what leads, how you get from one deal to 10 deals to 100 to 1,000. You get that first deal under your belt, and you're going to know at that point whether this is something you want to do, which is why Jill and I used to give away property. Mm-hmm.
Get it going.
Yeah, just to see.
Get you excited about it. Have something to sell and work on and all that good stuff.
Maybe you like to kiss girls. Maybe you like to kiss boys. Try it out.
What does that have to do with any of this?
Whichever one you like, stick with it.
Oh, boy. Someone's getting punchy. Oh, boy.
Like the ninth show we just recorded. Anyway, so one deal. And once you get that one deal done, and then it's, you know, either you're into it or you're not, get to 10 deals. And if you have what it takes to get to 10 deals, you have the cleaning out the closet mentality, where you're not just getting that next deal done, it's not just hand to mouth. You're putting together a system to get multiple deals done at once, and now you're learning which types of deals are better, houses or land, which state's better, which county. That's how you're going to get to 10 deals, and then that times 10 gets you to 100. Go ahead, Joe.
Thank
she
you.
She just raised her hand like she's in a class.
Thank you, Mr. Butala.
I like that a little bit.
So here's the deal. Deal number one is all about getting over your fears, getting that one deal under your belt. I can't many tell you how many times I've talked to people who have been listening to us, and often they've come from other environments, and they've been trying and trying and trying for 6, 8 months, even a year. I'm like, all right, so you've been doing this. What do you have? Do you have a deal? Nope. I'm like, what the heck? Got to get that one deal out, get it under your belt. I don't know why our members.
It's so foreign to me.
For some reason, maybe it's people that I talk to. I'm working on this now. Honestly, Jack, we have enough year and times and history under our belts and members. I'm going to really find out on a percentage wise. I think it's high, but I could be hearing miss thing. But I think because the way we spell things out and we're here holding hands and we're here accessible, my interpretation is I have more people that are hitting their first deal and getting it out of the way than...
Is that how they see it? Like, let's just get it out of the way?
I think that's how I see it. The first deal's scary. Yes. So deal number one is get that out of the way. You got one done. And I mean, when I say done, all the way through, bought and sold.
I call it cash in, cash out. You got the money back in your account.
Mm-hmm. Or cash out, cash in.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you. That's it.
So then, now you got that one deal out of the way. Whew, got that done. I can do this. Now I want you to do 10 deals. Why? Because you're going to make some mistakes. You got it. You're still learning out the kinks. And by the time you are on your 10th sale, you're like, you know what? I think I got this. All right. I know what that works. I know now I need to do this. I typically have it recorded, and then I typically do this.
Why did you say it was this easy? That's what I hear.
You think so?
Yeah.
Okay. So yeah, or at least I think people are, you know, they're just over their fears and they understand the process more. Now going from 10 to 100, I think is fun.
Yeah. And profitable.
Uh-huh. And you start to look at things differently. By deal one, I mean, you scrutinized everything on deal number one. It's like kid number one. Seriously. But we all do things differently. This is true. Kid number one, the world stops at nap time. We all do things differently. A pacifier hits the floor and they get a brand new one. By kid number 10, you're like, yeah, whatever.
Kid number 10,
Jill. Number 10 eats gravel for dinner regularly because it's just kind of, their hot dog fell on the ground and that's just the way it is. So, but you know what I mean? So
I just got to chill.
But seriously, you do things differently. You're like, oh, I got this. I know that. I know how this is going to go. I know that cry. So, and then... Now on 100, you're like, oh, this is good. Game on.
Well, you don't
on.
Get from 10 to 100 unless you have a system to clean the closet up. You know, you don't do 100 one-offs. You know, you have a system where your plan, when the mail goes out and you're planning, you can set your calendar by.
Right.
The calls are going to come in this week. The next week it's going to be a little quiet. Then the week after that, the mail's all going to come back signed or the assignment. And then that 2 weeks after that, we're going to do deals. And then you start really systematizing everything.
Right.
People call it automation, but I don't like that. Automation has this hint of lack of responsibility to it. Like you press the machine and it starts and you walk away and go to bed.
You know,
it's systematizing it.
Yeah. Well, I see it like, you know, we've talked about this before. Think of yourself as a franchise. Think about setting this up as a franchise and getting things into a routine and a system that somebody else can do it. You can recreate this somewhere else.
Yeah, and eventually you don't have to work there.
That could be. Or at least you're only doing the important parts that only you can do.
Right.
And that's the thing. Like you and I talk about often, being the deal maker. You should be doing
pricing.
Doing the pricing. Mm-hmm. You know, picking the county and working with the data.
Right.
There's some things you should not outsource because there's the risk of mistakes is too high. But putting it in a mail merge and getting the mail out, that's nothing you should be doing. Handwriting letters, heck no. So I almost started to say that. Answering every single phone call.
Oh my gosh.
No. You don't need to be doing that if you want to do that. But the initial wave of calls, you don't need the bad calls.
You need to learn.
You know, yeah, you do it in the beginning. And then you teach somebody to do that. And then they weed out the good calls, and those are the ones you follow up on. Those are the stuff you should be doing.
If you can do one deal.
Ordering the notary, that you definitely shouldn't be doing that.
You shouldn't really close your deals anymore after a certain point. Mm-hmm. You should have somebody else do it. Because you can, we're lucky in this business because you can say, all right, it costs $500 to close a deal front and back. I'm just going to buy more expensive property then and pay for that so I don't have to do it anymore. That's what I'm saying about between deal 10 and 100. You're working these things out. You're making these decisions, and you're saying, yeah, it turns out I really don't like to negotiate deals. Or, yeah, it turns out I really am a data person, and I love that, so I'm going to get a partner like I did. I got you to handle some of the people part of this business, and it's substantial.
Mm-hmm.
So and then after 100, you turn into us.
Mm-hmm.
Where it becomes thousands and thousands of deals.
And too bad for you. You turn into us.
And then you have a failing radio show.
Jack, at least you didn't say something else.
What did you think I was going to say?
I don't know.
A failed relationship?
That's what I thought,
Jill,
yeah.
Sweetheart, that's silly.
Okay.
Now you're getting punchy, Giddy.
Oh, I am getting punchy. You are right. That's so funny.
Join us in the next episode where we discuss how Jack Jill prepared for the economic downturn. It's inevitable. It's not the most fun conversation, but it will come at some point. Not too soon, but it'll be here.
It'll be here, and you can make it. There's things you can do to prepare make it work for you, by the way.
That's right.
And we answer Billy's question about a seller wants a sale, but he's making him wait a few months. What's that all about?
What the heck?
I don't know.
Can't wait to hear that. You are not alone in your real estate ambition. Good show.
It was good. You know, for some people, that's a big number. 100 is a big number.
For some people, that's the life, you know, life number of deals.
Yeah.
Let's say you did 100 deals and you made $100,000 each deal. Oh, it's a math test today. Thanks, Jack. I love doing math.
But what if your 100 deals are apartment buildings? That's nothing to sneeze at.
What if it's in Southern California and you mark up every house you buy 100 grand?
That's nothing to sneeze at. Are you doing math right now?
Uh-huh.
Can't do it in your head, Jack?
I could.
100, what's 100 times 100?
100,000 times 100.
100,000 times 100 is a billion?
You can't do it. It's $10 million.
$10 million, sorry. You know what? I'm so excited with the billion number. It's really silly, though. Well, you know what? A million's not... Here's the thing.
It's 10 million.
I know. So. A million's not...
A million's going to get you nowhere,
honestly. That's what I'm trying to say in a nice way. Remember when a million was a really big number?
No, it's never been a big number for me.
Well, it was for me. Well, I'm talking when I was a kid. Wow. They're a millionaire. How cool is that? And now you go, okay.
I skip right over the top of that.
I know. Exactly.
But if you do plan well and you have no debt with 10 million bucks in the bank, you are done.
Oh, that's good.
With a lot less, actually.
Mm-hmm.
The key is... not paying a mortgage and stuff. That's a topic for a much different time. $10 million is still easily enough money to live on for the rest of your life.
You could. I agree. Hey, like our show? Please subscribe and rate us on iTunes or wherever you are listening.
Information and inspiration to buy undervalued property.
We are Jack and Jill, and this was the Cashflow from Land Show. We are the experts at acquiring property
of all kinds, not just land,
for half price, just so we can flip it for way more
and really fast. Thanks for listening. You are not alone in your real estate ambition.